Our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son that you've given us. Thank you for this season where we remember that gift to this world. Help our hearts to be filled with joy at that good news and to share that joy into the lives of those around us who could use some. Help us to learn from your word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, in the past few weeks, I've been talking about the aspects of Jesus, and I'm going to be talking about another aspect of Jesus today. And I'm going to have a kind of a short sermon, and then our incoming pastor, Keith Glasgow, is going to be giving us a video sermon. And so we're going to get to hear from him, and I'm looking forward to it. To begin with, the four aspects of Jesus. And I'm not necessarily saying these are the only four aspects, but a lot of in Scripture, in several places, like in the prophecies in Ezekiel and in Revelation, you see these four beasts. And these four beasts represent the Jesus the King, Jesus the suffering servant, Jesus the man, and Jesus the Son of God. And we also find that each of the four Gospels presents Jesus in one of these ways. And we talked about how Matthew presented Jesus as the King and Mark presented him as the suffering servant. So today we're going to talk about the Gospel of Luke, who does presentation of Jesus is that Jesus was a real man. Jesus was a human being. To start off, he has a genealogy like Matthew does, but where Matthew was trying to emphasize that Jesus was the King and the Messiah, Matthew traced the lineage up to Abraham, up through David, up to Abraham. Luke wanted to point out that Jesus was a real man, so he takes his genealogy and goes all the way back to Adam, the first man. And this is because he's not just writing to the Jews, he's writing to all mankind. He's saying, Jesus, yes, Jesus came through the Jews, but he came to all mankind to bring blessing to all of the world. Also, Luke gives a lot more details about Jesus' birth and family. If you read the Christmas story in Matthew, the whole part about Mary becoming pregnant with Jesus, all it says is Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit. Boom. One sentence and it's done. In Luke, he has 30 verses going on about Mary's visitation and what she was feeling and what she did after that. He went into a lot of detail. And Matthew, because Matthew was dealing with Jesus the King, he talked about these wise men who brought kingly presents to the newborn king. But Luke, his account, talks about these shepherds, these common men who were sitting out in the field and who suddenly looked up and saw a sky full of angels singing glory to God. Luke gives high attention to historical detail. And this is because he wasn't just writing to believing Jews. He was writing to a skeptical world. He was writing to people who had not grown up hearing the stories and the prophecies about the coming Messiah. Well, what does it mean when we say that Jesus was a man, a human being? First of all, he did not give up being God. He was still completely God, but he was packaged as a human. Sort of the way all of the power and explosiveness of an explosion can be packed into a little stick of dynamite. Also, the fact that Jesus was a man means that he took on everything it means to be a human. Everything it means to born and live and have feelings and experiences and to grow and to develop. All of the stuff that we go through, the real flesh, worldly stuff, he went through it. He knows about the emotions and he dealt with all of that. Now, I don't clearly understand how sin and sacrifice and all this works and how what the how because we've sinned and there needs to be sacrifice. God makes that clear, but all the details and the minutiae, I've been studying different religious scholars this week, and they just no, they can't seem to come to real clear agreement on all the little details. But the big picture is this. Humans were the ones who sinned. And so humans needed to atone for their sin. It was human blood that needed to be spilled for human sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It talks about how he bore our sins and how he became a curse for us. And these things to me are a mystery. I don't really understand all that. But what is clear is that perfect human blood had to be shed for our human sins. Jesus became human. And we couldn't do it because we weren't perfect. We have all sinned, and none of us could offer that perfect sacrifice. And so God intervened. God became a human in order to shed that perfect human blood that we needed to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God couldn't be just and loving and perfect if he just winked and looked the other way regarding our sin. Our only legal means of salvation was for a perfect, sinless human to die, and we couldn't do it, so God did it for us. And that is the reason for joy on this, the joyous Sunday of Advent.